The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. When the hour for the Passover meal came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said,
Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying,
This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed.
Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them,
The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
And he said to him,
Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death.
Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me.
He said to them,
When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
They said,
No, not a thing.
He said to them,
But now, the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless. And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled.
They said,
Lord, look, here are two swords.
He replied,
It is enough.
He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
Pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed.
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.
When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them,
Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?
When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked,
Lord, should we strike with the sword?
Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
No more of this.
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come from him,
Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said,
This man also is with him.
But he denied it, saying,
Woman, I do not know him.
A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said,
You also are with him.
But Peter said,
Man, I am not.
Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting,
"Surely this man also is from him, for he is a Galilean."
But Peter said,
"Man, I do not know what you're talking about."
At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to them, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him,
"Prophesy, who is it that struck you?"
They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said,
"If you are Messiah, tell us.
He replied,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
All of them asked,
"Are you then the Son of God? Are you?"
He said to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said,
"What further testimony do we need? We have heard it
ourselves.
We heard it. We heard it."
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying,
"We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to take taxes on the Israel, saying that he himself is Messiah,
and calls himself Messiah."
Then Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He answered,
"You say so."
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find no basis for an accusation."
But they were insistent and said,
"He stirs up the people and is teaching throughout all the nations.
He stirs up the people."
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who is perverting the people. And here I have examined in your presence, and I have not found this man guilty of any of the charges against him. Neither ask Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, have him flogged and released."
Then they all shouted out together,
"Away with this fellow!
Take him away! He must be Barabbas! He's Barabbas!"
This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting,
"Crucify!
A third time, he said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done? I found on him no ground for the sentence of death. Therefore, I have him flagged and released him."
But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them there were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying,
He saved others, let him save himself.
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying,
If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.
There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying,
Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
But the other rebuked him, saying,
Fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.
Then he said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
He replied,
Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
It was now about noon. And darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
Certainly. This man was innocent.
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment.
It was quite welcome. Welcome to Palm Sunday, especially if you're visiting for the first time. If you are, my name is Dave. I'm one of the priests here. And children, what a Sunday to stay in the church, wasn't it? It's quite dynamic, don't you think? Maybe more dynamic for some of the parents trying to wrangle the children during a dramatic reading. We get that as well. But good morning. Who could tell me, and I'm thinking of the children here, why is today special? Shout it out. It's Palm Sunday. Yeah, what was that over here? There was something else? Jesus came to Jerusalem. Absolutely. And we remember 100% that Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem and people welcomed him by waving palm branches. Now, for some reason, mine is a bit more epic than yours, but it is nice to see that from time to time this job has a perk or two. So there we are. And they came in and they were shouting. What were they shouting? Hosanna, that's right. But there's so much more to the story than just the shouting of Hosanna and of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. So let me just recap the first bit since we kind of covered a lot of ground in that reading. Jesus and his friends were headed to Jerusalem. for the Passover festival. And when they got near the city, Jesus sent how many disciples? One and one, that makes two, that's good, okay, we sent two. That's right, he sent two of his disciples ahead to get a donkey. And when they brought the donkey, Jesus sat on it, rode into Jerusalem, and people were so excited. They were so excited, they spread their clothes on the road. And they cut branches from palm trees and waved them, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." So here we are. Now, let's think of something just slightly interesting. Who would you be excited about coming to Dallas and maybe going in front of your house? Would it be a celebrity? Michael Jackson, that would be fascinating since he's one of the dearly departed to some. You know, 3 months ago, if Luca came by your house, you might have been excited. I know, it's a bit too soon, sorry. Who else? What if, a dignitary? What?
A former president.
A former president. Yeah, okay. Yes, at the back. Who? Godzilla, that would be, yeah. You might not sing Hosanna to that. But if they came through, they'd probably be driving, a fancy car, right? They might have some security guards, and there might even be a helicopter overhead just to make sure that all was well. But Jesus chose a donkey. He didn't choose a war horse. He didn't choose a chariot. He didn't even choose an impressive donkey. He chose, there's impressive donkeys and there's, the not impressive donkeys. He went for the very bottom. Why do you think he chose a donkey? He wanted to show that he was different. He wanted to show he was different, didn't he? Let's imagine this. Before we imagine something, hold on to this. Before Jesus was even born, a prophet named Zechariah, his friends called him Zeke, a prophet called Zechariah, some called him, wrote a prophecy that a king would come to Jerusalem who would be gentle, who would be kind, and who would ride on a donkey. And Jesus was showing everyone that he was a different kind of king. He's not one who comes with weapons and his armies. He comes with peace, humility, and kindness. That's what Jesus was showing. And so let's imagine that we were there that day. So especially children, would you stand up and grab a palm? Just stand up where you are and just wave your palm. And let's hear you say Hosanna. That's kind of average. All right, okay, stand up. Okay, if you're sitting down, come on, stand up. That's it, Cole, stand up. Okay, stand on your chairs. Stand on the chairs, that's it. That's a bit more exciting. There we go. See how tall you are. All right, now wave your palm as wildly as you can. Well, without falling over, hurting anyone. That's it. Now shout Hosanna. Yeah, Hosanna, that's it again, come on, he's important, kind of save the world, let's shout Hosanna, that's it, wave it, that's it, okay, you can sit down now, well done, before anyone gets hurt. Hosanna means save us, it means rescue us, and the people were celebrating Jesus as the rescuer and king, but here's where it gets interesting, there's a deeper meaning here, which is many of the same people we had at Red Dose who were shouting Hosanna later at the end of the week shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And it's interesting, isn't it? They expected Jesus to be a king who would overthrow the Romans and solve all of their problems immediately. But when Jesus didn't meet their expectations, When they realized his kingdom wasn't about political power, but something much deeper, they turned away. Sometimes we do the same thing. We welcome Jesus into our lives when things are going well, but when he doesn't do what we expect, we're tempted to turn away. So on this Palm Sunday, with two of the most important props we have here at St. Bart's, we've got the palms of Hosanna and the promise of future glory at the playground after the service. Right? That's what this is, prophetic as it is. As we embrace today, and we've kind of acted out what's to come during the rest of this week, how are you welcoming Jesus? Is he just someone who you celebrate when things go well, or when things go unpredictably, when things don't go as planned, when things become difficult? What does his way of love and humility and kindness look like to you? That's a tough question we didn't expect today. Because the wonderful thing about Jesus is that he came not just for the celebration. Jesus doesn't just come for brunch after the service. He comes for the hard journey to the cross. He comes, yes, for the laughs and the smiles, but he's also here for the tears and the heartbreak. He knew what was coming, and he still chose to enter Jerusalem that day. And so this week, as we head towards Easter, as we have Maundy Thursday with the foot washing, Good Friday with the service we have on the Stations of the Cross, and then Easter Sunday, I want to invite you not just to come for the celebration, but to enter in with everything you're facing, everything that you might be challenged with even in the face of great uncertainty. The invitation is to enter with your whole heart, because our true King has come to serve, to love, and to save. Let me pray, and then I'll return these items. Let's pray. Lord, we need your help. We need your help, Jesus. We need your help to celebrate when things go well, and we need your help, especially when things are difficult and they don't go the way we expect. We need your help when it feels like you don't answer our prayers in the way we would like. Lord Jesus, would you come and meet with us as we journey this week with you to the cross and then to your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.